Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ty Cobb, former special assistant to President Reagan for national security affairs, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Robin Reedy, Sean Carey, and Mary Lau. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hey, Romeo!
The Reno Rodeo. Come celebrate 99 years. It's a tradition. June 14th through the 23rd. Get your tickets today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Ty Cobb. He is former special assistant to President Reagan for National Security Affairs. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Great to be here, Sam.
All right, so we had the G7 summit over this past weekend. Or as it's being referred to, the G6 plus one.
Minus one.
Yeah, the president wanted to have it as the G8, including Russia. After the fact, when the president was on his way to Singapore, he tweeted out insults at the Prime Minister of Canada, one of our closest allies. What do you make of it? Let me widen up the question. So, you know, President Trump acts like a bully, whether it's on the campaign trail, whether it's in debates, whether it's with his tweets. He is a bully because that works for him. And that's what he's doing. He's playing to his base. Obviously, he said in the campaign, he laid out all the things he was going to do, and that's exactly what he's been doing. And when he attacks these foreign leaders, because of, you know, the culture of diplomacy we've had for the last, 100 years, people are shocked and don't know quite how to respond. You dealt with these kind of things in foreign affairs for many, many years at the highest levels of government. What would your advice be to somebody who is being attacked by the president in this role as presidential bully?
That's one way to describe it. I think you correctly pointed out that President Trump is playing to his base. Rather strange behavior for a president, a member of the G7 or the G8, to act in that manner. But he arrives late at the summit meeting in Canada. He insults the host, Justin Trudeau, and then leaves early for another appointment. And in his wake, continues to tweet out insults to his fellow world leaders. This, compared to the president I worked for, Reagan, this is extraordinarily bad taste and poor behavior.
But on the other hand, if one looks at it, President Reagan, but in a much more diplomatic way, was as tough, if not tougher, in the things that he said. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Now you're
he didn't say it in a rude manner, but he said it in an incredibly strong manner.
That is dealing with your adversary, which was the Soviet Union at the time. He would not have made any statements like that when he's meeting with leaders, even some like François Mitterrand of France, who he really didn't get along with all that well. But he certainly would not have radioed out, or whatever the means of communication at the time were, insults to his fellow world leaders. But dealing with the Soviet leadership, Gorbachev, Reagan was extraordinarily firm, even to the point in Reykjavik in 1986 of leaving that meeting early, and the summit collapsed.
He walked out. He didn't just leave early. He walked out.
He did, and we were all sitting there and like, oh, we're leaving. And the president walked out of that summit because he couldn't get an agreement on his beloved strategic defense initiative from the Soviets. And relations were tense, but within 4 months, we got back on track. And in fact, the next year, Reagan and Gorbachev met again. They had summits in Moscow and Washington.
So would you say, based on what we've just discussed, that the difference between Trump and Reagan, to an extent, I'm not saying 100%, but to an extent, is the coarseness of the discourse today versus the strong talk back then?
I think the way President Reagan acted was very diplomatically. He could be very firm even with allies. There were times when even his dear friend Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, the UK, they would disagree, but they could disagree agreeably. And he could do that with adversaries such as Mikhail Gorbachev, as well as with our allies in Rome, Berlin, Paris, and London, and elsewhere. I've never seen a global leader act in the coarse manner that President Trump does, and relying on spur-of-the-moment tweets to get his message out. I think his close advisors would probably wish he would not do that and would consult with General Kelly, for example, prior to tweeting out his latest insult.
It's interesting because President Reagan also was the one that initiated direct contact with the American people through his radio addresses.
Yes.
That was something extraordinary at the time and gave him the ability to talk directly to the American people and force political decisions based upon the public reaction to the president reaching
right.
out to
That's
his
correct.
Base. There really isn't a huge difference between... Oh. Now, again, the coarseness is different.
Well, here's what was different, Sam, is that President Reagan would prepare his radio address. What he would do is tell his advisors that this is the topic I want to deal with. Here are some ideas I have. We would then funnel our ideas back to the president. And then he would tell the speechwriters what exactly he wanted, and they would write the speech. So it was well thought out. It was brokered with Secretary Shultz or Secretary Weinberger, Chief of Staff Don Reagan, whomever, the National Security Advisor. It was never an impulsive thought of the moment. Didn't mean that he always listened to the advice of the professional cast. I remember one instance when he was going to be speaking to the Soviet people, and this was an extraordinary opportunity. And we had been working on the speech, the State Department draft, and we got it down to something more Reaganesque. And it went in, and back comes this speech that is just completely different. I dream of the day when Olga and Ludmila sit down with John and Mary in the kitchen, and the ladies talk of recipes, and the men are engineers, and we're going... And I got so upset, I went down to the speechwriters, Peggy Noonan. I said, Peggy, what the heck is this? Who wrote this? She said, the president. I said, I like it.
All right, let's take a break. More with Ty Cobb when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're in the middle of a great discussion with Ty Cobb, former Special Assistant to President Reagan for National Security Advice. Mike Pompeo, a congressman, and then head of the CIA, and now the Secretary of State. From the uninformed perspective of somebody who merely watches and reads about the news, but especially watching Mike Pompeo on the Sunday talk shows, he seems like a pretty competent guy. Am I misinformed on that?
I think a lot of us are pleasantly surprised by the performance of the Secretary. Relatively unknown conservative congressman takes over the intelligence agency, the director there, did a good job, but not somebody with great experience in foreign affairs or dealing with on the international scene. But like you, Sam, I'm extremely impressed by Secretary Pompeo's performance to date and the way he has served as Secretary of State.
It's interesting to see people like Susan Rice very upset with the way that diplomacy is being handled. Does she have a point, or is that just, in a sense, sour grapes?
No, I think all members of the professional community, be they Democrat or Republican, are taken aback by the performance of this president and the vulgar tweets that are being sent out. So I think Secretary Rice does have a good point, one that's shared by many. But Trump is setting a new agenda. It is not one that I, as a professional, haven't spent years and decades in that realm necessarily welcome. But with respect to what we're seeing on international scene, the way he has handled the North Korea challenge, maybe there is something to the Trump approach that warrants closer attention.
One of the things, and we're taping this just as the president is arriving in Singapore, so obviously we cannot discuss what has occurred at the summit. But whatever happens, this is a long process. This is not something that's going to occur in a 24-hour period. They are not going to come out of this summit and peace will be declared. Whatever occurs is going to take years to fulfill. Am I correct?
I don't think years. certainly, the summit didn't produce any capitulation by North Korea, but the agreements that North Korea badly needs, it has one calling card, its nuclear arsenal. It's not going to give that up easily. But if there is an opportunity for North Korea to realize relaxation of the sanctions that have been imposed by the United States and others, and to gain assistance for its economy, at that point, then I think North Korea will begin to negotiate seriously regarding its nuclear capability.
Do you think it's enough for them to say that we are going to stop the program that allows ICBMs to reach the United States? Because I don't think Japan would be very happy with that deal.
No. Obviously, from the United States standpoint, we're more concerned about the intercontinental ballistic missiles, which have the capability now, Sam, of delivering nuclear weapons, warheads, on the continental United States. So from our perspective, yes, we'd like to see limitations there. From its neighbors like South Korea and Japan, they would like to see a denuclearized North Korea, perhaps with an agreement that would denuclearize the entire region.
And that would mean the United States no longer being able to have ships and weapons on the ground that were nuclear-tipped.
Not only on the ground, but on ships
and
aircraft nearby. Yeah, there, the possibility of going to a denuclearized zone in that region would be welcomed by South Korea and Japan, and perhaps by the United States as well, certainly by China.
Yes, to say the least. And that's where we have to leave it for now. Come back when we know more about the summit. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, I promised I'd hold this gang over for the next show, and here they are. Robin Reedy is executive director for NAMI and former chief of staff to Governor Gibbons. Sean Kerry is a political commentator, and Mary Lau is president and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada. Okay, so as we ended our last pundit segment on the previous show, we were talking about the race between Chris Gee and Steve Sisolak, and the two of you were saying that you felt that Chris Gee had the advantage. But I want to throw out to you, Robin, that it seems to me that for people that have lived in Nevada for any length of time and are involved in Democratic politics, that they certainly would be very, very familiar with Chris Gee and know her policies, know her in the legislature, to an extent know her at the county commission, but certainly have seen her. But the question is, how many new people on the Democratic side have moved into Nevada in the last decade that don't have a clue about Christie, and the only thing they're affected by is the tone of the commercials and the fact that she has been outspent approximately 6-1?
Yeah, I know. I do think that has an impact. But I will tell you, even on the R side, you know, the transition of our population and the transiency of our population does have an effect that I don't think people who run campaigns pay enough attention to. People forget very much. So the North has forgotten very much, and Chris has put stuff up North. And I think the stuff she's put up North has been better than what Sisolak has put up North. So I think it's kind of a toss-up between them, but what I've heard from people is that Sisolak is probably going to win, and my thought was, oh, yeah, another old white man.
All right, but Sean, I mean, are you taking into account the number of people that have moved here? Because it's been a dramatic increase in population, especially over the last couple of years.
Well, I am, because I look at it from what I'm seeing, like I was saying. What I'm seeing in my mailbox is nothing but Christie's bad because her dead husband did stuff. And I think that's terrible.
And when you say you're talking about your inbox, or you're talking about social media, you're not
or
talking
my
about
actual mailbox.
Okay.
My actual mailbox. They're doing
so you're the one that reads those.
I am.
On the way to the trash can.
Yes. But, well, I've got a big house, so yeah. I've got a long walk. I think that from what I've seen on the ground, when I see people walking in my neighborhood, they're not walking for Steve. I have not had one person show up walking for Steve, and I don't think that he has been able to connect with the voters up North. I think that she has done much, much better with that, and I suspect that out in the rurals, that's the same message. I think he's voting on Clark County going for him, and that may not be a winning strategy.
And definitely, nobody has ever worked harder on the ground than Chris G, and she has
everything
been all
that you see. All of the stuff that you see from Chris is when she's leaving somebody's home.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, Myrna Williams was a walker and a campaigner, and Chris G outwalked and outcampaigned, and Chris G has walked every single time regardless. She stays in touch with her people. And remember the Jeannie Siegerbloom stuff. It's hard to defeat her when she taught most of the people there, and you see Chris's posting saying, it's so nice when I knock on the door and see one of my students.
Well, and Howard Rosenberg would say the same thing. But on the other hand, you have Craig Mueller, who is running for AG, who is in the last couple of weeks has been to every small place, you know, Mina, Luning, all the cosmopolitan areas of Nevada, and then from Laughlin all the way to Elko. But is he going to score because of his efforts on the ground?
No, because he's in all those small areas and stuff, but he's following in Wes's footsteps. Wes has already been there. Wes has already got information out. Craig, on the other hand, a trial lawyer that's self-funding, I don't think it washes. But, you know, you can always get a surprise.
Well, and fundamentally, you have to have a message. And when you're not running with a message, you're not going to win.
Aaron Ford is running for attorney general, but he has been noticeably absent from most media across this primary for obvious reasons.
Right.
But doesn't he have to do a tremendous amount to educate people about himself, both in rural Nevada, northern Nevada, but also even in southern Nevada?
Yep. Well, so much of the problem with how campaigns are run is that people forget that there's a primary and a general. And winning a primary doesn't get you anything if you can't win the general. And I think that Aaron Ford might be suffering from that.
Robin, you agree?
I do agree, and I think it's going to be tough. I did watch the governor debate on the Democrat side, and coming from a campaign thought process, I'm thinking of all the media that can be used from that debate on the R side to really lose votes. So it was that was, again, something people need to consider. What I would like to see from Chris G, if she does make it out of the primary, is more of an uplifting message from her. She's so batted down into the facts and figures,
yep,
that she doesn't come off as a very personable person.
Yep.
And yet I know just from her making friends, that she is a personal person. So I would like to see something like that.
Do you think that Aaron Ford, now, if he loses in the attorney general's race, he still will be in the legislature? And so do you think that this is laying the groundwork for a campaign 2 years from now? And if so, which one do you think it might be?
Well, I think he was sincere in his efforts. I don't think he was laying groundwork. The problem is he doesn't have a field behind him and a lot of fundraising and stuff. And there is a lot of concern on who would replace Aaron Ford as leader, because he is a strong leader. He was able to sway some of the message and was willing to actually get rid of some of the bills he had because they were so far anti-business and stuff like that. So he steered the direction into a more reasonable session. And because of his leadership, you know, the community was very, very, business community is happy with him and with Jason. But then you turn around and look behind him and go, Houston, we have a problem. So he may be backing away a bit with the thought in 2 years, and I'm not saying he is, because that doesn't strike me as Aaron's personality at all, but it can be that it's a little bit too early, but then it has to go federal, because these are four-year elections for the constitutional offices. So if he's going to do a two-year jump, it's got to be a seat. I guess if Susie Lee loses again, then maybe he'd look at that or something.
All right, and that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. This has been great, and we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
On our next broadcast, Jesse Wadhams, partner with Fenimore Craig. We'll see you then.